Welcome to Talking Healthcare, insights from global leaders, produced by the International Hospital Federation. The Talking Healthcare podcast series features healthcare leaders and executives from the IHF's global community, sharing their expertise, knowledge, and insights into cutting-edge topics in healthcare. In this episode, members of the Women in Leadership Special Interest Group join the global conversation on gender equity for International Women's Day. To present this episode, I would like to introduce Frank McKenna from Alumni Global, the Women in Leadership SIG sponsor.
Hello, I'm Frank McKenna, Managing Director of Healthcare at Alumni Global. International Women's Day is celebrated on the 8th of March each year, a campaign to raise awareness of gender inequity issues globally. In 2024, the theme is the power of storytelling. As an international executive leadership firm, Alumni Global has many stories to tell about the challenges of recruiting equitable boards and senior leadership teams in healthcare systems around the world. It's important to acknowledge that gender equity is not a singular concept, but rather an intersectional one, encompassing women of colour, disabled women, LGBT plus women, and also women from underprivileged social classes. It is easy to make a compelling case for gender equity in hospital leadership by demonstrating its impact in just a small number of critical areas. Gender diverse executive teams are 25% more likely to have above average financial sustainability and resource surplus. Gender diverse healthcare leadership teams are also more likely to implement patient-centered care initiatives, leading to better patient outcomes and consumer experience. And gender diverse leadership leads to higher levels of employee engagement, staff retention, and increased levels of employee satisfaction, all of which are vital factors needed to provide high quality healthcare. As an international executive search firm, Alumni Global is committed to ensuring that appointment processes are truly inclusive. Collaboration between healthcare institutions and executive search firms also provides valuable touch points in any appointment process to achieve gender equity in the complexion of leadership teams. Recruitment firms have the power to disrupt and be catalysts for change, bringing challenge to the traditional hiring norms of hospitals. We can also disrupt the status quo by identifying and promoting untapped talent pools beyond usual applicants to actively seek out qualified women who might not have traditionally considered senior leadership roles. It also means nurturing talent pools, sometimes over years, having bespoke conversations and gaining the trust of women leaders to support them at every step of their journey. Bias, often unconscious, continues to be a significant barrier to gender diversity in healthcare systems globally. Recruitment firms can challenge these biases by implementing objective data-driven selection criteria to support appointments that are based on merit and skills and experience rather than gender. Executive search firms are also poised to be powerful agents of change in the quest for enhanced gender diversity in healthcare leadership appointments. We can be strategic partners in driving change, working with hospitals to develop and implement diversity and inclusion strategies, fostering an environment where women can excel in leadership roles. By challenging norms, disrupting bias, expanding talent pools, and advocating for equal opportunities, we can all be partners in reshaping the healthcare leadership landscape internationally and delivering better healthcare for all. And to host this episode, I'm delighted to hand over to Dr. Sawson and Dr. Pascal, both from Cleveland Clinic Abu Dhabi and long-standing members of the Women in Leadership Special Interest Group Steering Committee.
So I'm Dr. Sawson Abdelrazig. I am the Chief Academic Officer at the Cleveland Clinic Abu Dhabi. I'm also a hospital medicine physician, and I'm joined with my partner here who will be hosting with me.
Hello, my name is Dr. Pascal Anglade. I also work at Cleveland Clinic Abu Dhabi. I'm the Medical Director for the Office of Professional Staff Affairs, and I'm also a practicing gastroenterologist. We both sit on the steering committee of the IHF for Women in Leadership. In this episode, we'll hear from Dr. Sangeeta Reddy, the Joint Managing Director of Apollo Hospital Group in India. Dr. Sangeeta was our keynote panelist during the 2023 IHF Women in Leadership session at the 46th World Congress in Lisbon, where she presented her important work in several initiatives centered on advancing women in health. Thank you for joining us today. This podcast really centers on storytelling, and there is a lot to talk about, but in this short 30 minutes that we have together, we would love to hear more about your personal history and your personal story, and how, in as a leader in this impressive family business, tell us a little bit more about your what in your upbringing led you to be the leader that you are today.
So Dr. Salzen and Dr. Pascal and your entire governing board at IHF, let me begin by telling you how happy I am to be joining you today in what I believe is one of the most important missions, which is achieving equity for women. As you asked about my sisters, I must, you know, share that I have three older sisters, and four of us have over the last 40 years supported my father in his mission to create advanced high quality care within the reach of people and in India and in our part of the world. And this translated into Apollo Hospital now being, you know, among the largest integrated healthcare providers in Asia. We have over 11,000 beds, about 350 clinics, more than 6,000 pharmacies, and then education. Like, both of you are from an education background, so we have medical schools and nursing schools and an online learning and training platform, but also a large postgraduate training and internship program. But coming back to that important question about upbringing, let me just say it in two lines. Number one, since we didn't have brothers, we didn't feel any difference between boys and girls. But number two, I think that both dad and mom and the environment were extremely nurturing, gave us confidence, which I think is critical, because you may do anything in life. You need skill and you need confidence. So they definitely gave us that. And I clearly remember mom with her, you know, very powerful statement where she would say, "I want you girls to stand on your own feet." So I think that was something that we kind of picked up very early in our, you know, development. So with this, I think that the foundation was laid, but the most powerful transformative process really is like what Peter Diamanti says, is have a massively transformative purpose in your life.
Right.
And Apollo Hospitals and delivering health and health equity became that massively transformative purpose in my life. And therefore, it gave meaning, it gave inspiration. I must add that over the last 4 years, I think, women's equity is now occupying a fairly important place in my purpose in life. And so I'm very happy to be here with you all.
Wow, thank you for that reflection. And really, how inspirational. If you think about it, this is sort of a family business that has turned into an empire. So what a really impressive story. You've mentioned that obviously a very large part of that is your parents, right? And the way that they encouraged you and your sisters to pursue what you felt was purposeful. So that's really, I think, major takeaway for us. So tell us some of the initiatives that you've worked towards in empowering and advancing female leadership, since you are all so well suited to do that. I'd love to hear some of those initiatives.
So at Apollo, we, you know, had the advantage, of course, of being a healthcare group, and therefore a significant portion of your workforce is women. So we have about 57% women. Our board has more women than men. So at the Apollo Enterprise, it was about creating a safe environment for women, ensuring that there was skill development and therefore career progression, and an empathy to understand that their lives are different. Their compulsions, their needs, their pressures at work are different, and their pressures at home are different. And to be as empathetic as possible and design systems and support based on that. But over the last 4 years, actually, in the year 2000, I became the president of FICCI, which is the Indian Federation of Chambers of Commerce in India. And during that time, I created what we call the Greater 50. And the ideology at that time, India's women to men ratio was 49 to 51. And so we said that our numbers may be 49, but we are the greater 50 in terms of impact. So we created this kind of move, which had many initiatives. There was, empowerment in the workplace. There was a checklist for women-friendly organizations that we moved through the HRD networks, the human resource development networks, and said, the data is very clear that organizations and corporates who have equity in the workforce, who empower women and who have women in leadership positions, are ultimately more successful than their counterparts who don't. So do it for the world, do it for humanity, but also do it for good business. And this became one large movement. Like this, we did many, many others. Women in entrepreneurship, women in small and medium businesses, capital for women, and then went on to, skill development, et cetera. And then a fairly defining, exciting time was, last year, India was the G20, held the stewardship of G20. And I was designated the presidency of G20 Empower. Empower is the G20 wing of women in the corporate world. And so are my colleagues from Japan, who had played a steering role, from Canada, from other countries. We kind of inherited the framework that they had developed. We worked in that framework, which started with let's have good data, let's have advocates in the corporate who are pushing with this. And as we grew this, I added a few initiatives. So we started with a three-pronged roadmap with, three priorities areas were education with a special focus on STEM, women in leadership, and therefore cutting across all segments from grassroots workers to village leaders of women. We worked across with the ministry, and then women in entrepreneurship. And then we made digital inclusion a cross-cutting theme. So digital inclusion was embedded in all these. Here, our work really focused on ensuring that women have equal economic representation and that they have an equal and a just opportunity to come into the workforce. So papers on, compensation differentiation. So women who are doing similar work but getting paid, it was, data showed about 27% less than their male counterparts for equal workforce conditions. And we set up multiple working groups and committees across the world, anchored by women's groups from India, and really grew, proliferated, and created the roadmap with one rallying cry. And that was that only 28% of women in the workforce hold managerial positions as per ILO.
That's right.
That women CEOs ran only 10.4% of Fortune 500 companies. And we need to see a change in that. But the biggest one was the World Economic Forum report, which said that it'll take 169 years to
Right.
achieve gender economic parity. And what I loved is that every time I stated that number, women in villages, women in colleges, everywhere, they just said one thing, and that is, we will not wait.
Long time to wait.
It needs to
Right.
happen in this lifetime.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm sure all of you listening to this podcast are saying exactly the same thing. We will not wait. So
Absolutely.
towards that, we launched a few things. I'm going to share just three initiatives. Number one was the overarching theme that Empower said we must achieve 30 by 30. So 30% was the goal for every single corporation by the year 2030. So
Love
all the
that.
advocates, everyone who was part of it, and 30 is still a low number, but
Yeah.
it was significantly higher than, say, women
Yeah.
companies in the infrastructure sector had less than 7%.
That's right. And you put a number to it, right? That's so important that you put a number clear.
Put a
You might.
number because Empower also has a measuring standard, and KPI is one of the things that they do along with ILO.
Yeah.
So we
Yeah.
pushed this concept of 30 by 30. 30 by 30 is our goal. And then we went on to tell corporates saying that if you've achieved this, don't stop. Leave
Yeah.
it, greater and
That's right.
go higher. And
Yeah.
also said, this also means 30% across all organization levels. So leaders, managers, middle management, CEO, we don't want 30% in the workforce, but nobody in the senior echelons. So
Right.
this became one rallying cry. And then we said we also need to give some of the tools to do it.
Yeah.
So one thing that I will always remember is our ability to, along with multiple partners, create a platform called Tech Equity. Let me describe this. All of us know that about 90% of our jobs today have a digital component.
Mm-hmm.
And with AI, the significant amount of change which is happening in the role, etc. Despite this, only 25% of women are likely to know enough to leverage digital tools and technology. Seeing this data, we said we must give them access to the knowledge and the resources they need to build the necessary technical skills to succeed and excel in today's job market.
Mm-hmm.
So we launched techequity.com, which is a platform with 90 courses aggregated by multiple G20 nations in 120 languages.
Wow.
And completely free.
Wow. Tech
and
equity.
So you can just log on, and I'd request everybody listening to this, please go to techequity.com and begin your journey and share this. And it has five different personas. So it is suitable for the household staff who we come into contact with. And it is suitable for senior leadership because it has some of the latest updates. And, you know, I was really proud that in one of our closing ceremonies, our Honorable Prime Minister of India, Sri Narendra Modi, spoke about the platform. And he brought highlight to it and said it's so important in bridging the gender digital divide. And I think of tech equity as India's gift to the world during the G20. So that was one. In addition, we also created a mentorship platform. This one is still gaining a little bit of momentum, but I would encourage everybody to please focus on the importance of mentorship. Because when we look at things that women need, sometimes we think it's training like tech equity. Sometimes we think it's access to finance. But I think what came across of one of the most important things was, which is invaluable, is really guidance, support, one-on-one mentoring, and somebody to show the way or to tell them you're doing fantastic, keep going. So I believe mentorship is very critical. And then finally, you know, multiple areas of policy change related to empowerment of women. So whether it is, you know, work that we did with the government in terms of enhancing greater support to women in STEM education, etc. So I think the government plays a very, very important role. So policy advocacy towards the overall goal of equity, I think, was important. I could go on and on, but I think I should stop at this and end with the final thought that I hope that IHF can adopt the tech equity platform and bring it across to women in IHF and in the healthcare sector across the world. And we could add courses delivered by IHF onto this platform.
That's fantastic.
My first reflection on this, Dr. Sangeeta, is how do you get all these things done in the day? Like, I guess you have the same 24 hours that we all have, but somehow you're able to get all of these things accomplished.
It's really not me.
It's a team effort.
Like you, it's people who just pick up, and women who are listening, just pick up the ball and play your role. And so much can be done.
Yes, but you put in the passion at a level that is really important, that, you know, it's important to actually be able to achieve all these things that you've mentioned. You've mentioned a lot of numbers, some numbers uplifting and some numbers, the 169 years, a little bit more depressing. But it's you give us so much information. I do want to come back to a couple of points that you made. The first one is that, you know, equity starts at home, right? In your own board, you have more women than men. And I think it's truly, before you take this to
remarkable.
The world, you do it at home in your own context. And then you take it across to everywhere that you've taken it to later on. So Tech Equity is actually an initiative that I'm hoping that our listeners will absolutely look into, since you mentioned it, since there's still very much a problem with access by women to these opportunities. I love the 30 by 30. Again, I'm a big numbers person, and I think we have to sometimes name what it is that we're aiming for. And then the mentoring piece, right, that we often talk about. Sometimes that's what's missing. Sometimes more of a sponsorship, opening doors, that's also missing for our women that allow them to rise into leadership positions. So really, as a senior, a very, very senior leader, Dr. Sangeeta, you have shattered, again, a bit of a cliche, but so many glass ceilings that allow you to sit on the G20 and that allow you to do all these things that you've been able to achieve. Can you tell us what practical skill sets do you wish you may have acquired earlier in your career? I would love for our listeners to have some practical takeaways from our discussion. So, are there any particular skills that you now reflecting back on all your career and all your successes, you think, you know what? It would have been a good thing to know that earlier, and perhaps skills that you didn't expect would be useful that really played a critical role in your success.
So, because we're all women, and let me, share something which I think is important, that, we're really in this, we're all in this journey, many of us together, we're in this journey. When we take a trip, we plan our travel, we plan our itinerary, we pack our suitcase, we know, cold place, put your jacket, warm place, hopefully a swimsuit, whatever, sunscreen. In this journey of life, one of the important things is that we are not alone in the journey. So how we create the people who are on the journey with us and let everyone on the journey have the same goal. And that actually begins at home. It's your partner at home. I don't think I could have done so much of what I did in my early days when my children were young if I didn't have a fantastic, supportive mother-in-law. If I hadn't created, this is the nanny, this is the driver. And sometimes you can't do nanny and driver, but I'm just talking about a framework which supports you. So that if you're in the middle of an important meeting or a conference, you're not going to get a call saying, you need to go to school now. Because mothers being what we are, we will want to drop everything and go there and be there for our children, which is right. So can we plan to avert crises at home? Can we engage with our team, our home team and our office team to have our goals and our support? I think that is the one thing that maybe I should have planned a bit more strategically earlier. Some of it fell in place, some were the gaps, but now I realize my office team, my colleagues, and the team is sometimes an outside your own organization team. So you work with colleagues or friends or superiors who are not part of your organization, but who can play that very important role. So you create your circles, your inner circle, your mentoring circle, your knowledge and learning circle. And it may seem like a lot of work, but it is worth the effort to have those connections because women typically have so much to do and pack their day with so much. And then you're running home and you want to be the perfect mother over there. We don't spend time to plan enough to create our ecosystem. I think that is one of the other things. The other one is, most of us have a purpose. Encapsulate your purpose. Ideate, articulate, and get stronger because you know your purpose and that's what's driving you. And the third one, I think, is resilience. Everything will not go right all the time. There will be days when you've worked for months and your boss doesn't recognize you. And that happens to all of us. Don't let that get you down because your inner strength tells you that you did a pretty good job. You know you've done your best. And you did that also not just for the sake of the job, but for the sake of the learning that it's giving you.
Right.
So if we can connect with that, and the final thing is that because we're all healthcare people, if we can channelize some of our energy, and I mean the source of our energy from the power of what we do, I get the most motivated when I see a happy patient.
That's right. That's right. We're all
And
different. lucky. Healthcare is, it's easy to find purpose in
Exactly,
healthcare, right?
motivation.
That's
Absolutely.
exactly the point. And sometimes in the, the pressures of the structure and the day, we sometimes lose that. So we're particularly lucky to be in healthcare. Don't miss out on the sunshine that comes from that power.
That's right. That's right. What really, really important insights. In fact, you touched on something really interesting, which is this idea that we're not alone on our journey. And the idea that women, you're right, often don't see that the networks they already live in on a day-to-day basis are networks that can be leveraged, right, towards a purpose, right, or towards something, a goal that makes their work and their life more meaningful. And so really, really interesting. I think it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg in the US, that former US Supreme Court
Yes.
justice, who said, fight for the things that you care about, but do it in a way that will lead others to join you. And that's what you're saying, which is find your tribe, find your people, find the purpose, and then find the people who will get you towards that purpose. And realize that many of them are already in your day-to-day life. We tend to gravitate towards those who share similar values or similar thoughts on what's important in life. So that's an important realization to have very early on, because you're right, we are so used to thinking we have to roll up our sleeves
And
and
do
do it
everything
ourselves,
ourselves.
right? As women, that's what a lot of us tend to do.
At work and at home, oftentimes. So I really love what you said about the ecosystem that you need to optimize at home as well to be able to go out there in the world and follow that
That's
purpose,
right.
right?
That's right.
But that is essential for us to be able to do that. So very important
So,
reflections indeed.
very, very much so. And again, I think I'm hoping most listeners, this is something that always strikes me, this idea that we have actually, many times women have the skill sets. We negotiate on our day-to-day basis, for our children, for our parents, for our spouses. We leverage networks for our social, things that we partake in, et cetera. And it's just a matter of thinking, well, how do you move a lot of those skill sets into that professional space and into a space of meaning and purpose as well? So having said all of
You're
that, it would
so
be
right. I think I
no,
love
you.
the way that you said that, because when it comes to negotiating for our children,
Oh, we are the best. Oh, we
we're
are
amazing.
unbeatable.
No,
So really great.
absolutely, absolutely. It's reframing. A lot
Yeah,
of
it's
time
just
it's
about reframing.
reframing the way we see some of those skills and sticking them out in the
Thinking
world.
about that. So I'm going to bring it back to healthcare, since you sort of ended us there. Dr. Reddy, if you can tell us about one, maybe one in, I mean, you've told us about a lot of important moments in your life, but if you can tell us about one defining moment in your approach that really shaped your approach in leadership and healthcare, that would be wonderful for us to hear.
So I think I've lived a long time, so I do have multiple moments, but I will share one which is, very close to my heart. The journey's been long. We've done, by God's grace, we've done quite a bit, and my professional career has been interesting and fun. But since you spoke about a defining moment that shapes your approach to leadership, I'm going to share a very early story. I remember after, our hospital, our very first hospital inauguration. I don't think Dad or any of us knew how big or how this was going to be. But the fact that he, from a small clinic, achieved building a 350-bed hospital with the latest equipment, with doctors from all over the world, and then the President of India came for that inauguration. Because he was just that kind, he is that kind of person, the way he kind of, rallies the troops or inspires people who listen to him. But so the president came, we had this great function. And around 10 o'clock in the night, we were sitting at home, Dad, Mom, four of us, and I think there were two other staff. And one of my sisters said, "Dad, this is a great day for our family." And Dad, he smiled and he said, "From today on, our family is not just us. Everyone who enters Apollo is part of our family. And so what we do is also for them. And everyone, all our patients are part of our family." So he just flipped, the whole definition. And I think that became, I think, a leader who thinks of everyone he touches as close and personal as family, I think that's a defining characteristic or trait of a leader. It's then
Absolutely.
that leaders care enough, to talk, to empathize, to nurture, to train, because so much of what we do is not just about IQ, it's about EQ.
That's
And when you
right.
have
All
that
of it.
emotional ability, and that comes, you begin to tune if you don't think of them as an employee, but you think of them as family.
That's right. That's right.
So for me, that is really a defining moment in my role as a leader, because I've tried to take that and emulate that and, and use it to just enjoy work, because it's not work anymore. We get the pleasure of making people better, and we're surrounded by family, and everybody's on a common purpose. So, what could be more fun?
What a great lesson from your dad. I'm going to start quoting your dad myself as well.
Right.
The purpose greater than yourself, always. And this, if you keep that sort of your North Star, I'm not surprised that you've had so much success all around
That's
within
right.
healthcare, and then now taking it outside of healthcare.
Yeah.
Wonderful reflection.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Reddy. I think we've learned a lot today.
I think both of you bring out, I'm speaking from the heart. You seem to be touching my heart.
Thank you so much. It's so easy to connect with you, Dr. Reddy.
Yes.
So I appreciate you joining us today and sharing these really valuable and very practical insights as well. So the conversation, of course, this can run for many hours. There's a lot to say, but I think this podcast gives a helpful framework, hopefully, to our listeners. It definitely has for me. I hope it motivates all of us to find more and to find out more about this and to start the conversation in our own individual organizations around how do we, in our roles, in the various roles we play in our organizations, move the gender equity agenda? And so throughout 2024, we hope to provide quarterly conversations just like this one with healthcare leaders such as Dr. Reddy and others from around the globe to share these types of experiences and how they localize gender equity and advancing women in the C-suite and in board-level positions and all the important leadership positions that unfortunately many of us do not occupy. So, having said all of that, I have to say, it is a particular delight to hear from a global leader in the international space, because I think that's something that sometimes many of us around the world don't get a chance to hear from. So very, very thankful for today's episode. And so I think with that, we will wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up. What a pleasure it has been, Dr. Sangeeta, absolutely,
Thank
to
you.
meet
If
and to have this conversation.
sorry if I may, could I just do one last line to women listening?
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
Please, please give us your final
So,
reflections.
yeah. So if I would like to end by just wishing every single one of you who are listening that I wish you the best in life. I wish you the power to find your inner strength and to really just enjoy yourself. Because despite everything, we have wars going on in the world and it bothers us. We have personal problems that bother us. But despite every single thing, it is a beautiful world. So find the beauty around and within and enjoy yourself and good luck.
Yeah, let's not forget about the joy, right?
Right. Because,
Yes.
as healthcare people, we're surrounded by so much pain and suffering. Sometimes it is easy to become a little tough and bitter. So it's we have to keep consciously channelizing on the beauty around us.
Thank you for closing this podcast on such an inspirational note, Dr. Reddy. For more information on the International Hospital Federation's Special Interest Group on Women in Leadership, as well as to find out how you can also get involved, please visit us at www.ihf-fih.org.